Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Your host Nick Fay, with me as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Nick. You know, maybe slightly hungover, but feeling really good and really thankful.
Yeah, very thankful. Very thankful for you, Corey, co-host of the NBA Outlet. We've been doing an amazing job with all the pods, and very thankful for all the listeners, the OTG staff, you know, everybody who supports OTG in any way. Very appreciative for everything you've done and helped us get to this point. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards, the Markelle Fultz situation, you know, NBA things we're thankful for, and maybe a few others. But before we get started, as always, check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, YouTube. And all right, Corey, let's get right into it. You know, the big bomb dropped earlier this week, and it wasn't something that was a surprise. You know, Woja came out with a report that everybody's available in trade in Washington. That goes for John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter. What were your thoughts when you heard that everyone is available for trade?
Not surprised. It definitely feels like it's time for some sort of shakeup in Washington. I mean, it may even just be a head coaching change they need. Obviously, we heard the reports that, you know, John Wall had berated Scott Brooks in practice. And then, you know, Bradley Beal was upset and pointed at Ernie, what's his last name? Goldsmith?
Grunfield.
And said, you know, like, it starts at the top. So it's like, it feels just like a complete disaster. So naturally, when things feel like a complete disaster, you think about possibly making moves. I'm okay with it. It makes sense. I don't think you should probably trade Bradley Beal if you're the Wizards. I think that's probably your best piece to try and keep. Obviously, the Wall contract is going to be the hardest thing to move if you decide to move him. But it's time for a change. Otto Porter Jr., somebody's going to want to take a risk on him.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Wizards where they're at right now, you know, 6-11. There was some concern going through the season about, you know, the locker room and the chemistry, and it seems like that, you know, came, you know, full circle, and everything's kind of messed up. I think Bradley Beal, someone said something at practice was like, we've been dealing with this shit for 7 years. So it looks like, you know, everything in Washington is just really sour. You watch them play. We talked about it a little bit last week on the show. They just have a really negative vibe to them. You know, there's just not a lot of chemistry there. I think it just makes sense to change it up and just move these pieces. And I think we'll go through each of the, you know, the big three on that team, the pros and cons to trading each one. So we'll start with John Wall. What are the pros and cons of trading Wall in your eyes?
Pros are you get rid of the contract. You get rid of a point guard who, without the ball in his hands offensively, seems like he does nothing. He's one of those guys where if the ball's not in his hand, I feel like I always see him just standing in the corner or standing at the top of the key, just not moving when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. And then, I mean, a con, though, for John Wall to me is the fact that he loves D.C. I truly believe he loves that city. I actually think he's really embraced it. I think he wants to be there. So that would be a con, losing a guy who actually – you know, wants to be in Washington. Washington isn't a big market. They're probably a medium-sized market to a small market. If you have a star player who wants to be there, I don't think you should probably trade them, because most stars, it feels like when they're in that kind of market, they're begging to get out. And then for Bradley Beal, I mean, the pros of trading him is you're going to get a lot of assets back, most likely, because he's probably the most valuable player to trade. So you're going to get something back for him of value, maybe not equal value, probably equal value, actually, because he's locked up the next 3 years, I think.
Yeah, he's got this season and two more, and he's at a, you know, a fair price, 25 this year, 27 next year, 28 the following year.
Yeah, so definitely a pro if you can trade him, because you're going to get something good back for sure. And then a con would be, though, you lose Bradley Beal, who's really freaking good. And then Otto Porter. There's really the only pro to Otto Porter is the fact that you're going to get rid of that contract and free up some cap space. A con, I don't really see a con, actually, to trading Otto Porter Jr. I feel like it just hasn't worked out. Being the third guy in line behind Wall and Beal, it just doesn't feel like he gets enough touches. He's not aggressive enough in that offensive system. I think Otto Porter Jr. would do actually really well with a scene of change.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, looking at it from the Wall thing, like you said, pro-wise trading him, you get rid of that contract. You know, he's going to be making $47 million in 5 years. You know, so your money's locked up, and there's obviously injury concern. But, you know, the con would be, like you said, Wall wants to be there. And also when Wall's healthy and 100%, you know, he is a top five point guard. The problem is he's just been banged up, inconsistent over the last year and a half or year or two. So I think that's when you look at Wall. And like you said, with Bradley Beal, pro of trading him is if you wanted to go rebuild or retool, you're going to get the most assets for Bradley Beal. You know, he has a lot of value. He can fit with probably almost any team in the NBA. Everybody needs shooting. Somebody who can play defense. He can play make a little bit. So obviously, you know, that's a pro, but con wise, like you said, he's a really good shooting guard. You know, him and John Wall make a great combo back there. If you had to choose between the two, you'd probably go with Beal specifically because of that contract. And like you said, with Otto Porter, pro wise, you know, you move him, it hasn't really worked out, and you're going to maybe get an asset or two back. If not, you're going to open up your cap books because he's another guy who's paid a lot of money, 26 this year, 27 next year, and then a player option for the following year for 28. So I think, and then con wise, you know, you do need shooters, efficient players to play off ball when you have two big time guards, but obviously it's not sinking right now. Now, if you were the Wizards, what would be the route that you would go? Would you go full rebuild or would you go retool?
Ah, oh, man, it's tough. I probably would go full rebuild. It just hasn't worked. You know, we're you know, what, 5 or 7 years, according to Bradley Beal, into this. It just hasn't worked. The most wins they've had in the season is 49. I think they were a 4 seed that year, maybe a 3 seed. And they lost to the Celtics, I believe, a couple years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it just hasn't worked.
They had like the big game 6, and there was a lot of, you know, tension in that series, but they couldn't pull it out.
Right. And then after that series, when they thought they had already arrived and they started talking about trash, and they just simply never arrived. So yeah, I think I would go full rebuild. I would fire Scott Brooks. I would trade away some guys, try and get some young assets, and then just restart.
Yeah, I think I would probably talk to John Wall because I know that contract's going to be the hardest. And I'm like, if you want to stay here for a rebuild or slash rebuild slash retool where it's not like fully collapse everything, you know, I definitely would do it. If he doesn't want to be part of it, I would trade him too. I think if you look at the situation, you're not going to get a ton for Wall, but you probably could get at least one good young player or a first round pick. Bradley Beal, you could probably get a good young player and a first round pick. Otto Porter, at this point, you might get a small asset, but it's going to be more so a wash because of that contract. So I think rebuild is the route to go as well, just because it hasn't worked. The chemistry is not there. You know, it's rare that you're going to be able to trade Bradley Beal or John Wall for another star to bring back in. So I think at this point, it would just make sense to kind of start everything over, especially with the way that their cap books are. You know, they need to clean up things and kind of get set forward and, you know, have some nice cap flexibility moving forward.
I agree with that.
What are some destinations? You know, we'll start with John Wall. Where you think that Wall could end up? Obviously, like we said, the contract is extremely hard to trade. This year, it's only 19 mil, so it's easy to put in a trade. But someone taking on that kind of a responsibility for the next 5 years is big.
I'm looking at a couple teams that we've mentioned a lot because of point guard issues. Like the Phoenix Suns are one team I think about. The Orlando Magic. Maybe if the Pelicans wanted to somehow package, you know, like Julius Randle and Solomon Hill and, you know, a future first or whatever for John Wall, maybe that can bring some interest. Aside from those three teams, I don't know. Is anyone else that comes to mind for you?
I think Miami's been mentioned. You know, it seems like they're mentioned with every single, you know, trade, and obviously their salary cap is pretty bad, so maybe they might not mind trading some of their pretty good players for one guy who could be very good. But I like Orlando, like you said. I don't know if they look to trade, you know, in their division with those guys, but Phoenix would be a choice as well. And, you know, New Orleans I think would be pretty cool, but that's a big commitment. And now it's like you're going all in. I've heard people also mention Detroit. You know, they're like, all right, we're already paying Blake big money for the next couple of years. Why not just have John Wall? You know, he's obviously an upgrade over Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, and he's been healthier, too, for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, like we said, like Wall still probably isn't 100% right now. If he can get his game back to, you know, the level we've seen him play over the last few seasons, especially defensively, too, he is a great point guard. It's about, you know, is he going to produce on the floor and play at that level that we can expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, he was – the other night when I was running the OTG Twitter, the Wizards were down by 20 to the Clippers, and they had a comeback. Oddly enough, after Bradley Beal got his head smacked in by another head. But John Wall was, I mean, it was the best I've seen him. Granted, I have only watched, you know, 3 or 4 Wizard games this year, but this was the best I've seen him all year. The aggression he had, the intensity was up, and that's the John Wall that is John Wall when he's, you know, pushing the tempo. He was active on both sides of the ball, wasn't settling for jump shots, was taking it to the hoop. So, yeah, I mean, if that John Wall we get more consistently, then for sure.
What about Bradley Beal? What are some places you're thinking for him?
Oh my, any team?
Pretty much. A lot of teams have been rumored already.
I mean, first off, every team who thinks they should acquire more talent should be looking to Bradley Beal. It's that plain and simple. He's that good. I think the Lakers should be calling. I think the Charlotte Hornets should be calling. If you're serious about trying to keep Kemba Walker. Yeah, if you're serious about keeping Kemba Walker, you call for Bradley Beal because he's just such a complimentary piece. He's in the new age of Ray Allen in a lot of ways. I know their jump shot has been compared and everything else, but that's kind of how he is. He beats you off the dribble. He can shoot. He can actually play and make a decent amount. Plays solid defense. He's fantastic. So, like the Hornets, what other team could use him? I mean, there's so many teams that could use
him. You think the Pacers could make a move at him?
Oh, man, I would love to, but I don't. Then it goes down to, are we going to trade Miles Turner, DeMontis, a bonus? And I just don't think they're going to do it. I would, but I don't think they want to. I think they've seen too much in the four good games of Miles Turner this year to want to trade him. So those two teams stick out, and there's got to be a West team besides the Lakers. I mean, maybe the Utah Jazz could figure out.
The Jazz can really use him.
They need some scoring. So maybe they could figure out a way, but they don't have a ton of young assets to send over to Washington in any deal.
Someone said like Derek Favors for Bradley Beal or something in like a first round pick or something like that.
Yeah, Ernie may not be a good GM, but he ain't taking that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams, even like someone like Memphis, who is surprisingly number one in the Western Conference right now. It's not something I expected to read at any point in November, but shout out to them for playing hard.
Hey, man, 50 games. They were right, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, New Orleans would obviously be a great fit. Like, there's just a lot of different teams, like you said, where he could fit in. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets got in a conversation with them just to see what they're asking for. Because, like, Bradley Beal, like you said, he's just a really good fit in so many different systems and what you're looking for in a guard nowadays, especially because he improved last year as a playmaker.
I seriously think the Lakers, if he's going to go somewhere out west, I think it's going to be the Lakers. I just have a feeling. Like, the minute I saw that rumor, the first thought I had was, LeBron wants him. It was just like my immediate reaction. I feel like I've become a Lakers fan.
If you're all Washington, what are you asking for from LA?
I'm asking for a draft pick. I'm asking for Josh Hart and maybe not Josh Hart, but at least two of the three guys. So either Ingram, Hart, or Kuzma. It's got to be two of those three, I think, that get sent in a deal.
I think I would either take you have the option to get Ingram. I think that's like a no-brainer. If you get a first and Ingram for Bradley Beal, that's a good trade for you because we can see the potential that Ingram has. I think Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma combo wouldn't be terrible. I'm not sure if the Lakers are going to be willing to give two of the three. I think you might be able to get them to give up, you know, maybe Josh Hart or Kuzma, and then a first-round pick, and then, you know, obviously salary filler with, like, Rondo, whoever needs to fill up the salary to make the trade work. But I don't know. LA's been kind of stingy trying to trade their young guys. I'm not sure if they would be able to move them, you know, move them all for Bradley Beal or something, or two of them.
Yeah, it feels like they're one of the teams that, you know, what they have feels – like they have it, maybe not overvalued, but they just value it so highly they refuse to get anything of lesser value.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Lonzo was mentioned. I'm not sure where his trade value is at right now, especially he's not a great combination with John Wall. So that'd probably have to be more so in like a three-way trade, where maybe Ball's going to one of the other teams we mentioned, like Orlando or Phoenix or something like that, and they're sending an asset back to Washington.
I don't see Ball getting moved. I gotta be honest. I saw that too. I just don't see it. I really feel like in this time with Rondo gone, he's going to seize his opportunity. He played actually really well last night in the glimpses that I saw of the Lakers-Cavs game.
Yeah, he's definitely had some up-and-down moments this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens when he gets consistent. Obviously, anytime you miss time in the offseason with injury, it's kind of throw off your vibe a little bit for the first 20 games or so. But Otto Porter, what are some places in mind for him?
New Orleans sticks out. Because they just need wing help, and I think he's kind of that guy. At least so far, he's that kind of guy who kind of just fits in. He can be, you know, the third option offensively. I think he should be more aggressive. Doesn't mean he can't play his role. Solid defender. I'm not sure if he's 100% healthy. Doesn't feel like he is. But so New Orleans is a place I think could make sense. Again, the Hornets I think are another team that maybe could call about him. Maybe Phoenix, if they want to upgrade the wing position, they can get younger. Josh Jackson really hasn't worked out this year. TJ Warren, kind of feels like he's going to come back down to earth at some point this year. Those are the three teams that stick out.
Yeah, I think Otto, like the New Orleans thing has been talked about a lot. You know, obviously they're looking to get some more help over there. They have a couple contracts they can move. I think it's also going to depend on what the Wizards are looking for. If they're looking to just get like a, you know, cap relief, or if they're looking to actually get assets back, because I don't think they're going to get many assets for Otto Porter with his contract and the way he's played this year. Anything else on Washington, Corey, before we move on?
The only thing I am slightly disappointed in the fact that we really haven't seen this team fully healthy. I mean, Dwight Howard played in, what, four games, it feels like.
And he has butt pain.
Yeah, he's got a pulled buttocks. I think the closing factor is just the fact that it just didn't work.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work. Corey, do you think we'll see a trade by the end of 2018?
Yeah, I think so. I actually got in a little bit with a DC fan the other night. he basically told me, local and national media, that anyone who thinks they should trade John Wall or Bradley Beal are pretty much stupid. And obviously this was coming off a big, you know, 20-point deficit and then winning. So DC fans are like, we can't trade these guys. Look at it. And I'm still over here like, he probably should still blow it up. And one win doesn't justify the last 15 games where your team has looked absolutely wretched. So for me, it's still make a deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think that making the deal is the right move. Moving on to some more NBA drama, the Markel Fultz situation. You know, on Tuesday, it was revealed that he wasn't going to be practicing or playing any games. He was going to see a shoulder specialist in New York. And then there was rumblings that came out that he would like to be on a new team and, you know, a new scenery. His agent then came out the following day and said that that's not true. He's happy in Philadelphia and he hasn't made any type of request. So what are your thoughts on the whole Markel Fultz situation?
It's a conundrum. I don't know. I mean, we've seen the funky shots, the double clutch, the bounce the ball all the way to the top and throw it up. He's a mess. And that's, I think that's pretty obvious that he's a mess. Physically, mentally, I just don't think he's there right now. This is a 21-year-old kid. This is a young kid going through an injury that has made him have to change his shot. The number one overall pick, so all eyes are naturally going to be on him. I can only imagine the stress and probably the anxiety that he's dealing with on a daily basis, especially because Philly's a good team. So he's just going through a lot. I don't think he didn't request a trade. I think he did request a trade. I feel like that was only put out there by his, you know, quote unquote camp. Probably because they wanted to get it out there. And, you know, he may have said that, like, you know, I didn't say it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't said. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think it makes sense. Excuse me. I think it makes sense if they do trade him. It just feels like Markel Fultz does need a change of scenery. Maybe somewhere where the spotlight's not as bright on him. But this has not been a good start of the year for Fultz or the 76ers. You know, they made him a starter and they put him back to the bench. He had retweeted a tweet that he had from like last year saying trust nobody after he got benched. There's, again, a disconnect in Philly.
And we mentioned it on the Jimmy Butler trade pod we did with Jay. You know, the guy we were the most concerned about in Philly was Markel Fultz. We thought Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid would be fine. Not that Jimmy Butler is the reason that this is happening. It's just there's more pressure in the situation. You know, they need to win now. And obviously, Fultz needs time. And like you said, you know, it's a very tough situation for a young man to deal with. You know, we don't know exactly injury-wise. There's a report that he might have a wrist problem now, too. It's just like everything is completely flipped upside down. He goes from being the number one pick in the draft and to just like his jump shot completely failing him. And now he doesn't really know where he's at. His confidence isn't high. We've seen the double clutch on the free throw, which is kind of just crazy to talk about. I think a change of scenery would just make sense for both parties. The real problem for Philly right now is that his value is at an all-time low.
It is at the lowest it's been. No doubt. I don't think you get even close to equal value. Apparently my voice doesn't want to work right now. I don't know. This, you're not going to get a lot. That much I can say.
What do you think are some destinations? You know, Orlando, Phoenix. What other teams do you think could possibly get in the Markelle Fultz mix?
I mean, those two teams are definitely the prime ones. I mean, I guess you mentioned Cleveland, I think, on the Jimmy Butler pod.
Yeah.
That's a place that could work, you know, just throw them next to Sexton, have those two young guys. Maybe they can be the cornerstone pieces going forward. I aside from those three, I really don't see anyone who even wants to take a risk on them.
I mean, I think any rebuild, like I would say the Knicks, but that's a high pressure situation, you know, being in New York. I think I look at any like bad, you know, bad team or rebuilding team, like Chicago could possibly take a swing at him. Atlanta, even though they have Trae Young, I don't think it's going to hurt to have a young player there, especially if you bring him off the bench and try to work him in, or if somebody feels like they can kind of develop him over the course of a couple of years. Even if it was a team like San Antonio, who's like, all right, we're not going to play you now, but we're going to take the rest of the season, get you right, get you going forward. And I think that's what Fultz needs. He just needs a situation where there's not a ton of pressure for him to produce at the moment. If he needs to take off two more months to get everything right and, you know, really reestablish his jump shot or his confidence, he can do that. I just don't think it would make sense to be trade him to any type of like playoff team that needed him to produce now. If he doesn't need to produce, I think that's the best situation for him.
Yeah, I like that.
Any other thoughts on the Fultz situation, or do you expect him to be traded this year, or the Sixers are kind of hold it down?
I think the Sixers are going to want to give this more time. Personally, I don't think you want to jump the ship so soon on Markelle Fultz, because obviously last year was injuries, and we're a month into the season. I think we just hit the month mark earlier this week. Yeah, we definitely did. It started like the 17th or 14th. So we're only a month in. I'm not trading my number one overall pick after seeing him for 1 month and after just getting Jimmy Butler. Like, no, I want him to get healthy. And I want to try and see if I have something with a core of Fultz, Butler, Embiid, and Simmons. So for me, if I'm Philly, I'm not trading him until maybe near the deadline, if things are still this bad by then. And then obviously, who knows? By then, things could be really bad. You know, he could be, you know, sitting out or demanding a trade, or we could have a Kawhi Leonard situation all over again. But if I'm Philly, I'm giving this a lot more time.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to give it a little bit more time and see what happens. But I think they know better than we do, because they know the actual vibe. If there's a real disconnect between Fultz and the organization, I think if there's, you know, just some real bad, you know, vibes going back and forth, it might make more sense to trade him. But if everything's okay on that front, I think you do sit on a little bit. And then if it comes, you know, February and you're like, all right, we really need some bench help. Maybe he can get us a piece that could help us win a championship this year. You know, and he obviously is going to need a couple more years to develop, and we are trying to win now. But we'll see what happens with that. Corey, I didn't get a chance to watch this game, but what were your thoughts on LeBron's return to Cleveland?
Honestly, I know
you didn't get to fully watch, but you saw at least some of the game, so you got a feel and a vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the first quarter when I was having dinner with my friends and watching the Celtics-Knicks game, which was a blowout. But you know, the Cavs played tough. The tribute that I can say was amazing. LeBron James deserves every single bit of a tribute for everything he's done in Cleveland. The first quarter was really tight. It just felt like the Cavs got up for this game. You know, it was one of those, your star player leaves, you want to be like, look what you left. Even though we all know what your record is, it's one of those games where you're like, look what you left. And they played really hard. And they were, the Lakers were down by 8 with like 6.5 to go. And the Lakers went on an 11-0 run. I think LeBron had probably 7 of those 11. Was getting to the free throw. I'm still missing a lot of free throws this year. It's kind of annoying. I don't like seeing LeBron miss free throws. But he missed a couple down the stretch. But it became, you know, LeBron. Like, even though the Cavs got up, it was more like LeBron saying, all right, now let me remind you why I left and how good I am. It's kind of how that last like 6.5 minutes went.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, typical LeBron, too. I'm not very surprised by the outcome. You knew the Cavs were going to play hard, and then at the end, LeBron obviously was substantially better than any player on Cleveland, and he won the game. You know, it was nice to see them do the tribute. I know you didn't get to watch fully, but did you hear a lot of boos, or was it mostly positive for LeBron there?
It was positive.
That's good.
It was definitely positive.
Respect he deserves. But Corey, before we get out of here, like we mentioned, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Super thankful for all the support on the outlet, all OTG platforms, articles, podcasts, Twitter, whatever. We appreciate you guys for listening and supporting us in any way. But Corey, what are you thankful for other than our listeners and fans, NBA wise?
I mean, I'm thankful for the Indiana Pacers, of course.
No way.
close and dear to my heart. I'm thankful for this Lakers team. I do enjoy watching them play. I'm accepting that more and more. I'm thankful for Victor Oladipo and who he's become. I'm thankful that I've gotten to watch the greatest player of all time in LeBron James. I'm grateful for Lance Stephenson. I'm grateful. I had to throw that one in there. I just slipped it in too, so nonchalantly. Antetokounmpo for being the monster he is. And of course, Nick. Oh, wow. That was a voice crack. I'm not thankful for that. I'm not thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you too, Nick, for, you know, having OTG be this platform and being able to give myself a voice on your platform.
I appreciate it, Corey. I appreciate all the work you've put in, not only the outlet, articles, full access hoops, everything. And for me, NBA-wise, obviously Brooklyn Nets. You know, very thankful for Sean Marks turning that ship around. My guy, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell. Then also the next run of NBA superstars. You know, Anthony Davis, Antetokounmpo, Jokic, Embiid. Just watching these guys come, you know, take that next step in their game and really become MVP candidates and really dominate the league has been super fun to watch. I'm also thankful for the Warriors. That's not going to be a popular thing to hear on Thanksgiving, but the historical team, watching Steph Curry literally change the game. You know, I love the NBA drama that we've seen, even just on what we talked about today, the Markelle Fultz situation, the Washington Wizards blowing up in practice. We had the whole Jimmy Butler thing. So it's just like ton of NBA news on a constant basis. I love the way the NBA is changing the pace and such high scoring and everything along those lines. And like you said, obviously thankful for all the great players in the league from LeBron, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, you know, all these guys, all the great players in the NBA, be able to watch them on a regular basis is so much fun.
A lot of fun.
And it's honestly, and I don't think this is much of an argument anymore. It's definitely the best league in sports with everything and surrounding it, all the games, all the drama, all the activity, all the greatness and everything. And it's such an international sport. It's been great. And now my voice is cracking like yours. So I don't know what you did, Corey.
But we're just so thankful that our voices can't handle it.
Yeah, I guess it's a really emotional moment over here. But Corey, any last thoughts before we get out of here today?
Just want to reiterate thank you to all the fans and listeners. And to everyone over at OTG who does a great job with all the series we do, the podcast. It's been a long road to get to where we are now, and we still have a very long road ahead of us. But I'm very thankful for all the growth we've had at Off the Glass.
Yeah, I couldn't say it any better myself. Like you said, big thanks to the staff for the hard work and consistent effort they put in, especially the guys who maybe the editors and the guys who do stuff behind the scenes that don't get enough love. Really appreciate everybody. Like I mentioned to you all, I appreciate everybody on the OTG staff, and I appreciate everyone who supports OTG in any ways. You all have a great Thanksgiving and spend some time with your family and friends.
Peace out, knuckleheads.